Amen. This morning I'm going to begin with a question. How many of you like roller coasters? Got some. How many of you used to like roller coasters? Make you sick now, or you just don't feel like getting on them anymore? You know, sometimes living for God is like a roller coaster. I mean, ups and downs, and sometimes they come rapidly. And you'll have one day where God has blessed you and things are going well, and then all of a sudden, a week later, you got all these different trials and difficulties that have come into your life. Now, the excitement of a roller coaster may be fun at the amusement park, but when it comes to life, it can be exhausting when you have all these things you got to deal with and ups and downs. This morning, I hope and pray that we'll find out, or as we'll see, from the life of David, that it's important always to look to God. No matter if things are going well, or if there's a trial or a difficulty, or even when God is delivering you from the trial or difficulty, it's always important to keep your eyes on God. Turn with me, if you would, to the 30th Psalm this morning, Psalm chapter 30. And we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 6. Now, as you turn in there, this psalm was written by David, and it's believed to have been written in order to dedicate his house to the Lord. God had blessed him with a house. God had allowed him to build a great house. And so it's believed that this was a dedication of his house to God. And some believe that this took place after he returned to Jerusalem from being driven out by Absalom. And so this psalm really is a psalm of thanksgiving and a psalm of dedication. It's a psalm of joy. Now, what I want you to know this morning is there's no complaints really in here. He talks about what took place a little bit and what happened, but he's not complaining. He's praising God for what God has done for him. So this morning, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. Psalm chapter 30, verse 6 says, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. And I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Dear Lord, we come unto you this morning. I thank you for the blessings that you have provided, and I thank you for those that have come out this morning to hear your word and to study your word and to be encouraged and perhaps challenged by your word. I pray today that you'll open up your word to us, and Lord, just help us to see the truths and the teachings that are found in your word, and I pray that we can apply any teachings to our life that we find here, we can apply them to our lives, and we can just walk after you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this psalm, as I said, was written by David, a psalm of dedication, a psalm unto the Lord. And this morning, I want you to notice the importance of looking to God in all areas of your life. All areas, not just one area, not just sometimes, but in every area of your life, it's important to look to God. To begin with, we need to look to God when we're prosperous. It's always enjoyable to be blessed. You know, you seek a prayer request, you take something to God, and God answers, we rejoice, we're thankful. Or God may just bless because He's good, give you a good job, you have a nice place to live, bless you with the family that you have. And you may look at times and say, well, things are going well. God has really blessed me. God has made me prosperous. And that's where David found himself. And in this chapter, he is now looking back upon his life as far as some of the experiences and what had taken place. And I think he sees the importance of looking to God when you're prosperous. Now, David's enemies at this point had been silenced. He was no longer on the run. He was no longer, I guess you'd say, hiding and trying to keep others from taking his life. Also, at this point in his life, his health was good. You know, if you have no enemies and you got good health, things are going fine. His health was good. He lived with great comforts and he had great blessings. He understood that the Lord provided. And the Bible says that he knew he was strong because of God's favor. that God had made him strong, and he compared it to a mountain. But I believe that David became overconfident. Notice what he said there in verse 6. He says, "In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved." Have you ever made a comment like that? "I'll never do that. I'll never say this." Maybe a year later you find yourself saying, "I wish that one never said never. I said that, I did that, and now look." You see, David here makes a comment. He says, "I shall never be moved." In other words, I am set. I am prosperous. God has blessed me. I'll remain here forever. I believe he became overconfident. You know, his rivals were removed, but he had new enemies. One was pride. David had to deal with that now. I was reading a story about a five-year-old boy. After 2 weeks in kindergarten, he was excited. He came home and with a big smile on his face, he looked at his grandma and said, "Grandma, I'm the smartest kid in class." Well, she had a deep sense of pride, and she asked him, "Is that what your teacher said?" He said, "No, I had to tell her too." Pride, if we're not careful, we can think we've arrived and that we've accomplished it. You see, David, that's what he had, some pride. He'd never be moved. He'd never be taken down. You know, when all is going well, when we're prosperous, self-confidence and pride will become our greatest enemies. Because we'll begin to think that we have accomplished, or that we can keep ourselves there. I guess if we're not careful, we can forget God's blessings. We can forget God's power and God's, grace and mercy in putting us where He's placed us. And so because of this, it's difficult to be prosperous and walk by faith. Now, it's not impossible, but it's difficult because of the temptation to become prideful. Now, his prosperity, I think, lulled him into a false sense of security. Have you ever been lulled to sleep? Maybe you're watching the news. Maybe you watch golf. Golf can put you to sleep sometimes. There are all kinds of things you can be lulled into sleep. Prosperity, if we're not careful, can lull us into a false sense of security. To think that everything's all right. To think that everything will be okay. See, David was certain that his blessings would last forever. Now, there are some things that last forever. Of course, we think of salvation and other things. But his blessings on earth were not guaranteed. He was blessed by God, but evidently he forgot God's power, and so he no longer looked to God. You know, when things are good, or going well, shall I say, we tend to think that they will remain that way forever. You see, when we're prosperous, we never think that we're going to lose it, or we never think that we're going to have to struggle and, you know, down the road a ways, and we think that that prosperity is going to last forever and forever and ever. You know, I'll remind you of something. I'm sure a lot of you know this. Probably everybody here knows this. Nothing in this world is certain. And nothing is so certain that it'll never change. You know, we could wake up tomorrow and our lives can be changed completely or drastically. There is nothing in this world that is not suspect to being changed. And just because we're prosperous today does not mean we'll be prosperous tomorrow. Healthy. Thank God if you're healthy here this morning. But that can change overnight. Wealth. Thank God if God has blessed you with materials or with a job or with whatever He's given you, thank God. But we can lose those overnight. You see, everything can change in a moment. Only God, His Word, and His ways are sure. Now security, you know, when you were talking about David having a false sense of security, security often leads to overconfidence. We become secure and we believe that everything's all right. I think David now is looking back and he's realizing that his overconfidence was foolishness. That he should have kept his eyes on God and should not have gotten to the point where he thought, hey, everything's going to be all right. You see, he refers to his stability. Notice in verse 7, he says, "Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." I mean, he's referring to his stability as a mountain. Now, knowing David from the scriptures, I imagine he's referring to a large mountain too. He's not talking about just a small hill. He's talking about a mountain. And I imagine he's thinking, man, my stability's like a mountain. In reality, a molehill would have been a better reference because it was gone in a moment. And that can happen in our world today. All that we have, if we get overconfident, we think that we put our faith in our things, they can be taken away quickly. You see, David, to his credit though, was able to learn from his mistake. And this morning, that's what I want to encourage each of you to think on. Let's learn from his mistake so we don't make that same mistake. You know, when God blesses us, let's remember that he's blessed us. If you got a job this morning, thank God for that job. There are people that don't have jobs. If you have a house, thank God for your house. You have a vehicle or a car, if you have a family. You know, when we begin to look at all the things we have, God's really blessed us. And thank God for those blessings. Remain grateful to God. See, David, I think, became almost self-confident, no longer grateful. Let's remain grateful to God. Let's remain humble before God and not think that we've accomplished or we have gained these great things, but remember God has given them to us and that God has been gracious. Let's remain faithful to God and serve God even though we have these things. You know, so you ever hear people that say, well, when they accomplish, you know, great goals or great achievements, they change. How about we don't change as far as our relationship to God? If God blesses us, let's remain faithful and keep serving the Lord. Now, I'm going to say this. A trial is not required for one to look to God. Now, David here, he's going to be tried. And he's going to be tested. And he would look to God. A trial is not required for that. You see, God does not have to break us down just so we can look to Him. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're prosperous and God has blessed you, look to God right now. Don't make it where God has to humble you before you look to God. Look to God now. Learn from David's mistake. Look to God. Trust in God. And look to God when all is well. Let's go back to our text in Psalm 30. And we're looking here at verse 6. He says, in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Bold and daring. Verse 7 says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And then he says here, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. This leads us into our second point here this morning. Look to God when troubled. Look to God when troubled. David's life, as we see here, was shaken. He says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. His prosperity quickly turned to troubles, to difficulties, to hardships. His security was gone, and his safety was even in danger. It happened rapidly. All because, as we see here, he lost God's favor. God turned his face from David. Now, to an unbeliever, to someone who does not believe in Christ or doesn't believe in God, you know, this may mean nothing. They may say, well, that's no big deal. But to someone that loves God and belongs to God, this is devastating. If God would no longer show favor or be kind to you. And that's what happened here with David. Now, I think it was due to his pride, is what happened. He made the boast that I shall never be moved. And God said, oh yeah? Slow down. You see, this morning, let's be careful of what we boast about. Let's brag about God. Let's glory in God. But let's not boast of our works or our abilities. And here in this case, I believe it was due to his pride. I'll read you a few verses on pride. We know in Proverbs 11, verse 2, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 15, verse 25 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. And then we know in Proverbs 21, verse 4, says, a high look and a proud heart and a plowing of the wicked is sin. Pride is dangerous. It is. And I think it's because when we get pride, we begin to look at what we think we have done and we take our eyes off God. We no longer look to God. We no longer trust in God. And so, it's dangerous to be prideful. I want you to notice something here in this passage this morning. In verse 7, he says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. All God needed to do was to turn from David, and he was troubled. God didn't have to bring a large army. God didn't have to come down and do great miracles. God just turned from David, and the troubles came. You see, loved ones, God is so great to us. And we just need to remember how good God is. And everything we have is because of Him. David's security was gone. David's prosperity was over. There's no more bragging anymore. There's no more boasting of how good he is. David's happiness was even in the past. He's no longer happy or glad or joyful because of his troubles and his difficulties. What we find next is important because there really are two options here. One could quit, get discouraged, go into self-pity and become, I guess you say, depressed over the situation. Or one could do as David does, or David did, and that's turn to God and seek God's forgiveness or seek God's help in the situation. In verse 8 it says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. What we find next is David's life was shaken, it was turned upside down, and he went to God in prayer. That's what he did. He cried unto the Lord. Now, the fact that he cried unto the Lord indicates his terrible situation. He didn't just go talk to God. He cried unto the Lord. He was hurting and he was desperate. Bible says he made supplication unto the Lord. That indicates his seriousness. He wanted to have God hear his prayer and answer his prayer. Now, David was a man of prayer. We know that. According to several of the Psalms he wrote, he prayed morning, noontime, and in the evening. David prayed 3 times a day, so he was a man of prayer. It wasn't like David was running just to God all of a sudden out of nowhere to have God help him out. David loved God and already talked to God. This morning, I want to encourage you to develop a life of prayer. Seek God when you start your day. Seek God throughout your day, through difficulties or trials. Seek God when you end your day. Talk to Him before you go to bed. You see, I want to encourage you to develop a relationship with God where you have a strong prayer life with the Lord. And that's what David had. You know, I was reading a story about a fisherman. He went to sea with a couple of his buddies. They didn't belong to the Lord. They didn't serve God, never went to church, even though he would occasionally would go to church every once in a while. And they were out there and a storm came up and it threatened to sink their ship. And so his friends began to pray and they looked at him and he was just sitting there and they said, "Man, why don't you talk to God? You're the one who claims to be a Christian. You're the one who loves God." And he said, "Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to God for a while." And I said, "Well, why don't you just talk to him? We need his help." And so after their insistence and after their, driving him to his knees, he finally said, "All right." And he said, "Oh Lord, I haven't asked anything of you in 15 years. If you help me out now, I won't ask anything in another 15 years. You see, loved ones, if we're not careful, that's the kind of prayer life we can have. The only time we go to God is when we think we're in trouble. And that's it. We don't develop a relationship with God where we seek His direction, we seek His guidance. All we're looking for is someone to get us out of troubles. And David wasn't like that. I don't think he was just looking for God to help him escape this hardship. David was a man of prayer. David talked to God. David loved God. And David served God. And here, on this occasion, he went to God. Notice he appealed to God first for God's glory, not his own. And that's what we find here. He said in verse 9, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" In other words, if I die, who's going to praise you? If I die, who's going to continue serving you? Now, he wasn't trying to change God's mind, I don't think, as much as he was really appealing to God for his glory, not for his own, but for God's glory. And then he asked for God's mercy and help. He says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me." Think about that. He didn't have a long, drawn-out prayer with big, fancy words. He said, "Hear me and help me. Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me." Now, that's a prayer we can all pray. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. That's a prayer we can all pray. That's a prayer that seeks God's mercy. That's a prayer of respect and humility and just seeking God. Now, this morning, if you find yourself in any troubles or trials, now your troubles and trials may not be like David's, may not be brought on by pride. You know, a lot of times our difficulties are just part of living life here on earth. And if you have a difficulty right now, I encourage you to seek God. Ask Him to have mercy on you. And then he says there, "Lord, be my helper. Lord, be my helper." Now, that's a prayer for all. All of us should seek God to help us out. Now, I think of those, and maybe there's one here this morning that's without Christ for salvation. I think of those seeking after God. If you want to be saved, you need God. You can't be saved in your own power, in your own strength, your own abilities. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 talks about salvation. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, this morning salvation is of God, not of us. And so we need God to save our souls. And so, if there's one here this morning that's without Christ, that's where it begins. "Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Help me. Save my soul." And if you say that from your heart and you come to God seeking God's salvation, the Bible tells you, you'll be saved. That God will accept you, will not reject you, and you'll be saved. But afterwards, that's also a prayer for those that are walking with God or want to serve the Lord. Whether it's a pastor, missionary, teacher, doctor, engineer, carpenter, construction worker, it doesn't matter. We all need God's help. We all need God's help during trials and troubles and difficulties. And without God's help, we'd be in trouble. But with God's help, the burdens can become light. With God's help, the problems can be removed. With God's help, we can continue by faith and we can walk with the Lord. See, that's what David was seeking. He was really depending upon God. He was seeking God and depending upon Him to help him out. And this morning, we can go to God. Hebrews 14:6 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace," He says, "to help in time of need." This morning, you can go to God in prayer. Of course, the first prayer that you should go to God is the prayer of forgiveness and salvation. Once you're saved, you belong to God. You can go to God anytime, day or night. God is there. He's listening. He's ready to hear your requests and to answer your prayers. Now, He's not like some magical genie, of course. He's not there for us to go to and get whatever we want. But He's there for us to cast our cares upon. He's there for us to seek guidance and direction. He's there to answer our prayers. And sometimes the answer may be no, but He's there for us. And so we can seek Him day or night. Don't matter if everyone else is asleep or if you're all alone, you can seek after God. So I want to encourage you, like David, look to God when you're troubled. Look to God when you have difficulties. Look to God when your life seems to be turned upside down or when things are not going right. Look to God and trust in Him. Finally, we go back to our passage this morning in Psalm 30. And it says there in verse 10, we've read this, it says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper." Verse 11 says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever." How about we look to God when we're delivered? We often look to God when we're troubled, but after the deliverance, when the trial is over, if we're not careful, we can stop looking to God. How about we look to God when we're delivered? See, God delivered David from his troubles, and that's why David was rejoicing in this psalm. Yes, he had troubles, but God delivered him. God protected him and took him through those hard times and helped him. Notice that God took away the difficulties, but God also added. I like God, the way God does math. He takes away the trials, but He also gives blessings. He added to David's blessings. You see, David was protected, and once again, he was given prosperity. God blessed him, and David's mourning was replaced with gladness. You know, he refers to the sackcloth. That's what the Jews would wear when they were in mourning, when they were discouraged and depressed. He no longer would wear that, either physically or even in his heart. He was no longer mourning. He was no longer discouraged. Instead, he was filled with joy. I don't know about you, I enjoy when God blesses me and we're filled with joy. And David's fears were replaced with comfort. Now, when you think about life, storms may come in quickly, but they often leave quickly as well. You know, when we're in the middle of the trial, they seem to last forever. We don't think it's ever going to finish. We don't think it's ever going to be over when you're discouraged and you're going through a hardship. But you know, when it's over with and we look back, we often say, "Wow, it wasn't so bad. God saw me through it. God protected me. God even blessed me through this." You see, when we look back, we often see that a lot of our trials aren't as bad as they are when we're in the middle. So I encourage you just to continue on. Because storms may come in quickly, but they also leave rapidly. Don't quit when you're in the middle of a trial, but look to God. Don't give up when you're tested, but continue by faith. David didn't quit. He continued to trust in God. Now we come to David's conclusion here at the end. In verse 12, he says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent." You see, David concluded at the end of all this. He's looking back and says, "I was prosperous, and guess what? I became prideful and thought I'd never be moved. And then I was troubled, and I looked to God, and God delivered me." And now he says, "I'm going to sing praises unto God. I'm not going to be silent." You know, let's thank God for the blessings that He's given to us. And then let's share that with others. Let's not keep silent. If God's blessed you this morning, let's let others know how He's blessed you. Now that can be just as, you know, of course, you can share it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That can also happen just in everyday conversation. You know, someone can say, "How's it going?" "Oh, it's going good. God's blessed me. God has been good to me." You see, God, if God's been good to you, let's give God the credit and the glory, or I guess say glory for that. And let's not be ashamed of the one that has blessed us so greatly. You see, David was he wasn't ashamed of God's blessings. He wasn't ashamed of God's taking him and delivering him from his trial. Actually, it was just opposite. He was letting people know. I mean, he even wrote it down so others could read it years later. He wanted everyone to know how good God was to him. This morning, I don't think God really expects anything out of us after we're saved. He knows that we are still sinners as far as our flesh. You know what He expects? He expects us to abide with Him, allow Him to work through us, and just simply tell others how good He's been to us. If you want to, bring people to Christ, share with them what God has done for you. That's all Paul did in the book of Acts. He just shared how God had saved him, how God had blessed him, and God had taken and used him for His glory. This morning, be willing to share with others how good God is. Now, he also says that he would give thanks unto God forever. God's protection produced a thankful heart. A thankful heart. You know, as believers, it's terrible and really shameful to forget to praise God after blessings. It is. If God's blessed you, give Him thanks. If you've been seeking God in prayer over a certain situation, and then He comes through and provides an answer and blesses you, get on your knees and give Him thanks. Be thankful for what God has done for you. You know, I think if we this morning would examine our lives, we would probably realize that we have many reasons to give thanks. And we can give thanks forever for what God has done for us, our family, our friends, perhaps our job, where we live. I mean, there are just many reasons we can continue to give thanks unto God for. You know, David's trial really turned into a blessing. And the reason why I say that is because at the beginning he was prideful. By the time it ended, he was humbled before God. And he recognized that God was his power, that God was his strength. This morning, look to God. Look to God when you're delivered. And remember God's mercy in your life, because God is so good. You know, David found out the importance of looking to God. Because without God, we have no hope. But with God, all things are possible. You know, it's possible to be saved this morning. I look across the auditorium and I know, I hope and pray everyone here is saved. I don't know your heart. I hope and pray you're saved. But if you're not saved this morning, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, it is possible for you to be saved. It's possible for you to trust in Christ. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This morning, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, that whosoever can be you. You can come to God through Jesus Christ and you can be saved. You can place your faith in Christ. Your eternity can be secure and you can have forgiveness of your sin. You see, it's possible to be saved, but only through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the way that God has provided for salvation. That's clear through the Gospels. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So this morning, I encourage you to come to God, place your faith in Christ, and be saved if you haven't done so already. But after you're saved, it's possible to be blessed. It's possible to live above the world as far as living a life with God, and it's also possible to get through trials with God's strength. But we have to look to God for that to take place. We have to trust God. We have to wait upon God at times. And we have to allow Him to direct our lives. And we have to look to Him so we can get through those trials. This morning, as we close this message, I'll leave you with one final thought. And it's not, it goes back to the Bible. You think of Peter when he walked on water that day. You know, that's one of the neatest, stories in the Bible. One of the most interesting. When you begin to think of what took place. How he stepped out of that boat by faith and he walked on water. But you remember when he began to walk, he was fine. And then when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And then the Bible tells us he cried out. And the Bible says Jesus grabbed him, kept him from sinking. This morning, you think about it. We take our eyes off God. We began to look at the things around us. And I tell you what, there are a lot of things around us that can discourage us. From the national news, to the world news, to just things in our own personal life. There are a lot of things that can discourage us. And if we take our eyes off God, we begin to focus on all that's around us. I don't care how long you've been saved. You begin to do that, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to struggle. And like Peter, you may not fall physically, because we're not talking about walking on water, but spiritually you may struggle. You may get discouraged. And you may even be tempted to quit reading your Bible, to quit praying, to quit serving God. That's why it's important to keep your eyes on God, to focus on the Lord. Remain humble. Look to Him when you're prosperous. Look to Him if you have troubles in your life. And look to Him while He's delivering you out of those troubles. You see, it's important to keep our eyes on God because He will provide the strength we need to get through each day. God is so good to us. Dear Lord, I come to You at this time, thanking You for Your blessings. As we have this time of invitation, Lord, I pray if You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, I pray that they'll take whatever care or concern they may have to You. And I pray this morning that during this invitation, if there happens to be someone here who is not sure of their salvation, Lord, I pray today they get that settled with You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You can remain seated just for a few minutes. We're just going to have a short time of invitation. All this is, the piano is going to begin to play, and if God has worked in your heart in any way, I encourage you just to seek Him out at this moment. You can come to these altars and pray if you'd like to, or you can pray right where you are. I just encourage you, if God has worked in your heart here this morning, to seek Him in prayer. Perhaps there is one here who has questions concerning salvation. If that's the case, I encourage you to come down, and we can show you from the Bible how you can know that you can be saved.